Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Kim and Julie Harris. Real Estate Coaching Radio is the nation's number one daily radio show for realtors who demand authentic, real-time coaching. Get ready for fluff-free, unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what's truly working to get you into action, helping others, and making money now in today's real estate market. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
As a lot of you know, we're doing an event live in Austin, Texas in a few days, and Julie and I are preparing the content we're going to be presenting to the group. We were going to give a market analysis, sort of what we saw was going to happen over the next 12 to 18 months, and I'll tell you what we were going to present. We were going to present that we thought it was going to be a relatively slow and predictable unraveling of the real estate markets, a slow and predictable decreasing in demand and increasing in supply. But there's new reports coming out that are telling me that it's not going to be slow, that it's going to be happening over the next 6 months, not 18 months, and that it's going to affect the Midwestern states faster than it did before. And so you guys, many of you listening, 100 to 200,000 listen to us on a regular basis. You were not around in any previous housing crash, let alone the one that was really unbelievably bad back in 07, just wiped out, you know, trillions of dollars in equity and trillions of dollars of, you know, just everything. It was a mess. Do I think it's going to get that bad again? I can't tell you that it's not. That's the truth. I'm not smart enough, and I don't have enough information to know for sure whether or not it's going to be that bad again. But what I do know is that there is money to be made and people for you to help no matter what direction the housing market is going. And so what we're going to do on today's podcast is Julie and I are – so here's the thing. I know, because we have so many of you listening, that some of you have – are you think I'm way ahead of my skis. Julie and I are talking about something that's never going to affect you. You're experiencing a stupid seller's market where there's no inventory for sale. I know some of you are in a market like that. And what you don't understand is how fast a market like that will switch, will just completely stop. And we're going to tell you exactly what to look out for. And, we're going to tell you the phases of the popping of a real estate bubble. Julie and I have spent the last 48 hours really researching this because we have anecdotal reasons to think that to believe what we think, right? We're talking to coaching clients all over the country. We have some of the top agents as personal clients. Some of the agents you know of, they're on Bravo TV. They're literally the leaders in the industry. Brokers, office managers, they're all telling us the same thing. The market's changing. I didn't need a bunch of reports from CNBC and Bloomberg to validate what we thought was happening because I had you guys telling me what was happening. So for me, that's enough evidence. And that's the reason that Julie and I felt comfortable telling you guys that we saw this market shift. We've been telling you for the last year. We told you 2 years ago when we saw it happening in New York City. Nobody else is reporting about it. It took a whole year for the regular news to start talking about it. So we are not uncomfortable being ahead of our skis. We would rather be a little bit wrong and a little bit early than we would have you guys not be prepared ahead of time for a shift in the marketplace. So hopefully that makes sense. Even if it's even if it costs us coaching sales, because here's the thing: if you guys are being skeptical as to why we're delivering this information, what our motivation is, what I'm going to tell you, generally speaking, will result in I think what one would call marginal agents not taking any action whatsoever because they're going to react out of fear and they're going to do nothing. That's the first reaction that most people have. It's the fear response, right? You know, it's our lizard brains reacting to an outside thing that's telling us danger, danger. What do most people do? They don't fight or flight. They stand still. You know, that's what most people do. So if you think that I'm delivering this information because Julie and I are trying to sell coaching contracts, you're wrong. We're delivering this information because we are 100% confident we're right, and we want all of you guys to be prepared. So what happened in the past recession won't happen to you. So you can't protect the overall economy. You can't protect your housing market, but you can protect your own personal economy. That's where our focus is. Julie and I and our coaching organization, you know, we are where we are because we stayed focused on agents, and we are tripling down on that now during this shift in the housing market. So we're going to tell you, for those of you who want the anecdotal facts, Miss Julie's got a fair amount of reading today to do. We did not edit this.
Getting ready.
I know I sent you too much to read, but we she's going to read you information that I've pulled from various sources over the past 2 days. For those of you who want to research this more yourself, because I know some of you are very analytically minded, and there's nothing wrong with that, we're going to give you the breadcrumbs. You guys can follow them. But for the vast majority of you, you just want the overriding information. That's what we're going to give to you now. And then hopefully we're going to get into what your – we don't want you to go into a defensive posture in a market like this. We want you to go to into an offensive posture in a market like this. In other words, we don't want you basically digging a deep hole and waiting for the recession to pass over or waiting for the housing slowdown. We want you to get your game on. We want you to get ready to build your business. We want you to be prepared to seize the different new opportunities that a market like this creates versus the opportunities that you may have been chasing during the last bubble. So for those of you who are true entrepreneurs, who truly are driven to, you know, make the most of what you're, the cards that you're dealt, I promise you, you're going to have an opportunity starting now as this market transitions to get way ahead of the curve and to frankly probably be honest with you guys straight up, make more money than you ever have in your careers. If you think you had opportunities in the last go-around, this last 10-year market where it was essentially a seller's market, the, what happens in a market like what we're transitioning into is so many agents don't have the skill set, the mindset to basically deal with the seller's emotions and aspirational pricing and helping sellers price things correctly. You notice I'm focusing on sellers and pricing here because that's where the opportunities are. They're on the seller side of the business. Those of you who've always wanted to be listing agents, you wait in your market. Wait about, just remember I told you this, okay? We're halfway through the year, basically. Look to see what the expireds are in about 6 months. Maybe some of you it's going to take a little longer. You're going to see a steady increase in the expireds. That's huge opportunity for you, folks. Are you paying attention? So as Julie's going through these facts, remember these aren't our facts. These are facts taken from third-party information providers. Write some of this stuff down. If you want additional information on this, Julie and I will tell you where to go hunt it yourself. In the meantime, Julie, I know you've got a lot to read, and I'm sorry I didn't edit it. It was just a bunch of cut and pasting, okay. But have at it.
So because it is a lot, feel free to interrupt me, hover, call a timeout if you like. So I'll get started here. Let's go. Housing bubbles proceed in fairly predictable stages. Stage one is long and initially slow, fueled by excess central bank money creation or foreign demand or some other source of liquidity that encourages large numbers of people to buy houses. At first, sellers remember the peak prices from the previous bubble and are not willing to sell at anything less than that. In finance speak, they are, quote, anchored at the highest price they could have gotten last time around. So demand initially outstrips supply, causing home prices to rise slowly at first and then explosively as increasingly desperate buyers become willing to pay any price, while mortgage lenders, seduced by fat fees and confident they can securitize and offload any kind of dicey mortgage, lower their standards to include pretty much the whole of society. Some of this should sound familiar to many of you listening. Stage one usually ends with price spikes in the hottest markets so extreme that they generate headlines like these. And we'll get into some of those headlines because those aren't in my notes, but we'll refer to those in a second. You and I have been collecting those. Phase two of a typical U.S. housing bubble begins when sellers read these headlines and note that prices are now above what they could have gotten in the last bubble. They're above what that previously anchored price was. So with memory of how badly during the subsequent bust they'd wished they'd sold at the peak, still reasonably fresh, they realize they've been given a second chance to cash out, move to a cheaper, less frenetic place, and coast on their real estate riches. So they call a realtor and list their house, as do a bunch of their neighbors. Supply, out of the blue, jumps. Absolutely something that we're seeing, and we've got, again, lots of reports on this, not just in the headlines, as Tim said, but from the front lines, all of you guys. So stage two's deluge of supply sets the table for U.S. housing bubble stage three by soaking up the remaining demand and changing the tenor of the market. Deals get done at the asking price instead of way above, and then at a little below, and then a lot below. And we've got lots of reports from coaching clients talking about just this. Deals that would have been done maybe 90 days ago, multiple offers over list, now are starting to go at list and even a little bit below. Instead of being snapped up the day they're listed, houses begin to languish on the market for weeks and then months, would-be sellers who have already mentally cashed their monster peak bubble price checks start to panic. They cut their asking prices preemptively, trying to get ahead of the decline, which causes the comps to plunge, forcing subsequent sellers to cut even further. Sales volumes then contract. Mortgage bankers and realtors get laid off. Then last year's, in retrospect, really crappy mortgages start defaulting. The mortgage-backed bonds that contain their paper plunge in price, and voila, we're back in 2008. Shall I continue, Tim? That was a lot to digest.
Well, let's level off there. So that just hold on. So that came from Seeking Alpha. Now, some of you know, Seeking Alpha is a great source of information that's not really tied to mainstream media. And we use Seeking Alpha and a number of other sources. A lot of sources like CNBC and Bloomberg will use sources from Seeking Alpha because the Seeking Alpha guys do really drill down research. But you can tell in the manner in which that was written, that was not written by an industry pundit. Like, it could be argued that Julie and I are industry pundits, or someone from National Association of Realtors are industry pundits. So just between me and the 150,000 of you listening today, Julie and I put virtually no value on any of the Economist reports that come from any of the industry pundits, because they are spinning, and you know they are. They are absolutely, their job is to report the news in such a way that it's going to obviously continue to support whatever the whatever their members want it to support. Our industry is addicted to rising prices and this, and essentially the reinflation of a housing bubble. Why? Why is that true? Why is our industry so addicted to that? Because the brokers and the agents don't know how to compete in a changing, let alone a buyer's market. Unless you're from the Midwest, like Julie and I are, I'm thinking back to all the absolute ass-kicking agents we knew when we sold real estate back in Columbus, Ohio. You guys, honestly, if you've been in the business long as we have and you've been in the Midwest, you got nothing to worry about because you know the game. You know how to sell in all types of different markets, but a vast majority of you listening right now have no clue. You don't know what it's like to walk into a seller's house. I had a great call the other day with another great client in L.A., and he's telling me that his $1 million, $2 million, $3 million buyers, straight-up buyers, are, and some of these are cash buyers, are 100% taking themselves out of the market because they're anticipating the prices are going to fall. Now, I had another call with someone in North Carolina who is dealing in stuff that's his higher end is, say, around 500. He says that market's dead, and it's $200,000 to $300,000 buyers are taking themselves out of the market in anticipation of prices falling. So those of you who only know how to work with buyers, I've just given you a little window into the shit show that will be your future unless you learn how to be a listing agent. Is that direct enough for you? Are you listening? Julie, next point.
Perhaps. I think it's probably direct enough. We'll see. Okay, so next point. Housing is dropping, and it's demand-driven, not supply-driven. All three housing market reports released in the past 2 weeks showed industry deterioration. The Home Builder, quote, sentiment index for May, now known as the housing market index for some reason, showed its fourth decline since the index peaked last December. The index level of 68 in May was 10 points below Wall Street's expectation. The index is what's called a soft data report measuring primarily home builder assessment of what they call foot traffic, that's what we call showings, and builder sentiment. So moving on, existing home sales for May, reported last Wednesday, showed the second straight month-to-month drop and the third straight month of year-over-year declines. The headline of seasonally adjusted annualized rate number, which is 5.43 million, missed Wall Street's forecast for 5.5 million. April's number was revised lower. Once again, the NAR chief spin master blames the drop on low inventory, but this is nonsense. The month's supply for May increased from April, and at 4.1 months is above the average month's supply for the trailing 12 months. It's also above the average month's supply number for all of 2017. If low inventory is holding back pent-up demand, then May sales should have soared, especially given that May is historically one of the best months seasonally for home sales. The non-seasonally adjusted number for May was 3.4%, below that of May 2017. The primary reason for declining home sales is that the shrinking pool of buyers who can afford to support the monthly cost of home ownership. The government lowered the bar for its taxpayer backed mortgage programs every year since 2014. It lowered the down payment requirement, broadened the definition of what constitutes a down payment. As an example, seller concessions can now be counted as part of a down payment, thereby reducing even further the amount of cash required from a buyer's bank account at closing. It cut mortgage insurance fees, and it lowered income and credit score restrictions. After all this, the government is running out of people into whom it can stuff the 0 to 3% down payment and 50% debt-to-income mortgages in order to keep the housing market propped up. Interesting stuff, right? So remember in the intro that we just did, it was talking about, it said, mortgage lenders seduced by fat fees and confidence they can securitize and offload any kind of dicey mortgage. What may be a dicey mortgage? Well, I think 0 to 3% down payments and 50% debt-to-income mortgages would qualify for that. What are your thoughts, Tim?
So here's what happens, guys, and this has happened before. It'll happen again. It's very predictable. Again, if you've not been in the market, you don't know what I'm talking about, but trust what I'm telling you is the truth. I realize that people will always have a house payment, and if they're not, it's, let's say, for example, someone's underwater in their mortgage. The behavior pattern is if they have a non-recourse mortgage, yes, I know a lot of you don't know what I'm talking about, but the behavior pattern will be when they're underwater in their mortgage, if they can rent something that's going to cost them less per month, they will leave the house. Okay? I want you to listen to what I just said because that's what's going to happen. It's going to start happening as it did before in Southern California. It's going to happen in Las Vegas. It's going to happen in Orlando. It's going to happen in West Palm Beach. It's going to happen in Scottsdale, Arizona. It's going to happen in all the places that happened before. Because when people can rent, you know, let's say their mortgage payment is $4,000 a month or $3,000 a month, but they can rent literally the same house in the same school district, you know, five doors down for half the amount that they're paying, and they have no equity, let alone underwater in their house, bye-bye house. Oh, my gosh, they're going to ruin their credit. They're going to do a short sale. They're going to do these other things. Nobody cares anymore. That all changed during the last housing recession. Nobody cares. They will not care that they're going to do a short sale because they did a short sale 11 years ago and they bought another house. So they know if they bail on this one, in 2 or 3 years, they'll be able to buy another one. And you know what? They're right. They will, because that's what's going to happen. This is how this works.
Tim, let me jump in here for a second. I think that you're onto something with this too, because of the previous experience in the last recession and the normalization of strategic short sales, which is mostly what you're talking about here, I think the comfort level with that will be different this time around because people
totally.
Do know because they did buy after not that many years, right? And I think we may actually see some different strategies on that. That'll be very interesting to see how that unfolds because last
be more
time
aggressive.
It was a smack in the
yeah.
face and people didn't know what the heck was going on. This time, there's some experience with it.
Right, and it's all researchable online. People are going to be able to Google it. There's tons and tons. There's millions and millions of people that did strategic strategic short sales, and there's those same millions and millions of people, after 2 or 3 years, were able to buy another house. So what's going to happen, guys? The reason I believe that this is going to come unraveled faster than it did before is what Julie just said. Before, when the Obama administration, I'm not making a political statement, just stating a historical fact, they did, I think, heroic things to try to basically stem the tide of what would have been one of the greatest financial, just an absolute, unbelievably, historically bad depression was on the horizon, and they fired all cannons, and you know what? It worked. Now, it's arguable whether or not it worked long-term, but short-term it sure as hell did. It caused house values to slow down the losses. It allowed people a graceful exit out of their mortgages. It allowed people to do short sales. I mean, the whole process that was put in place in a relatively short period of time was amazing. It just was. So that all is still in place. All that architecture and all those mechanisms are still in place. They didn't dismantle any of that. All those HARP 2 plans, all those different little programs they had in place, guys, those are just going to get fired back up again. That's what's going to happen.
Well, and it was streamlined, too. It won't be the disorganized mess that we used to be.
Right. People were living in fear, oh, my gosh, if I do a short sale before, will the bank go after me for my defaulted amount? And that was a big, nope, they didn't. They didn't. They won't again. None of that's going to happen. So people now, unlike before, there was uncertainty to do a strategic short sale. We're talking about strategic short sales, guys, but you can scale this type of thinking to virtually all aspects. But this is the type of thing that's going to happen. It's very predictable, and this is why we think it's going to happen faster than it did before. Before it took, it went from, it was New Century Mortgage. They failed in September of 07, okay? We saw the market slowing down in late 06. We warned our coaching clients in late 06 into 07. We started teaching our clients how to do short sales and then how to get into the REO business in early 07. Then the markets, it basically everyone realized that New Century failed in 07. But here's what I want you guys to remember. It was not, and you guys think about this. Everyone says the housing crash of 2008, don't they? Housing crash started in 2008. That's not true. The housing crash started in 2007. So what that shows you historically is there's a delay. That delay isn't from the actual facts. That delay is from the collective unconscious mindset of people not wanting to accept it. So they didn't start, news didn't start reporting on it. The people didn't start accepting it. Our industry didn't really start accepting it until late 2008 or early 2009. But the people that, agents that realized the opportunities were shifting, you know, they could still make money. The money continues to flow. Money does not care where it flows to, who it flows to. What money does is it flows to the people that provide the highest level of skill, right? Those people who can solve other people's problems will make money no matter what direction the housing market is going. That's where we're taking all of you guys. That's what we want you to understand. You do not need to live in fear of a changing housing market. You need to live in fear of your ignorance of a changing housing market. You have an unbelievable opportunity ahead of you. The greatest fortunes in the history of history have always been made during the greatest times of change. That's true. We are at, it depends on what your market is. It depends what your country is, what your state is, right? You have a clear view into the future. If you're in New York City, I'm telling you something you're experiencing now. If you're in Southern California, I'm telling you something you're experiencing now. In other parts of the country, I'm telling you something you're going to experience in 6 to 12 months. It's not a guess. It's going to happen. Now, you could be where like Lance and Karen Kenmore are in Kennewick, Washington, where they didn't even get affected by the housing bust last time around because they had a unique economic situation there in their local economy that basically kept housing prices high. You could have been in different parts of the country. You could be in a market that's really, really hard hit, and yet there's these little pockets of housing that are still very much a seller's market. So this is not what we're sharing with you are general statements, but you need to be the expert on your individual market. But just understand that the thinking – okay, so CNBC did a story yesterday. CNBC, and I love Diane Olick. She does a great job reporting, but she reports – she reports information that's generally speaking 90 to 120 days old, sometimes older than that. Well, she came out with an alarmist story yesterday, and she's been following it up with more alarmist stories. So that is the tipping point. I want you to remember what I'm telling you guys. The tipping point is when the mainstream media starts feeling comfortable talking about the change in the market. And Diana Olick is CNBC, also owns MSNBC, also is associated with a bunch of newspapers. So you're going to see over the next 2 weeks all the headlines, maybe not on not above the proverbial page fold in the newspaper, but people are going to start getting a barrage of information about a changing housing market, about essentially that, you know, it's no longer being a hot seller's market. And then what's going to happen, just like when a pendulum swings, you guys remember those old desks? You know, Julie, we need to get one of those damn things to the event. Where can we get a pendulum? You know what I'm talking about? The ball thing?
Yeah, I think
doop,
I do.
Doop. Okay, so what happens is it overcorrects, and that's what's going to happen. It overcorrected on the side of sellers. Now it's going to overcorrect on the side of the buyers before it settles back in the middle. We are just starting to overcorrect on the side of the – well, we're not even close to overcorrecting on the side of it being a buyer's market yet, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen fast. Guys, it's not a guess. This is a fact. So you need to decide what you're going to do with this information. You can do one of two things. You can do nothing – well, three things. You can do nothing, which is frankly what most of you will do. Let's be honest. You'll be in denial about it. Okay, that's number two. You'll be in denial about it, which is similar to number one. Or number three, you can say, Tim, I like what you're saying. I mean, I don't like what you're saying for the sake of the economy. I don't like what you're saying for the sake of the hardship it's going to cause for a lot of people, and neither do I. I hate it, to be honest with you. It makes me really sad that we're going to have to all go through something similar to what we went through before. But, Tim, this is the number three thinkers. I realize that my job is to be of service to other people, and I need to learn how to be of service to other people in all markets, not just a hot seller's market. And so I'm going to do whatever it takes to learn those skills. You guys are the ones that are going to kick some serious ass and make a lot of money. You guys are the ones that are going to have the cash to pick up the assets, by that I mean houses, at a great discount. You're the ones that are going to come through this changing housing market, maybe being millionaires if not multimillionaires. There's nothing wrong with that. No one's going to give it to you. You're going to have to earn it. The only way you're going to earn it is by solving other people's problems. And by other people, guys, I mean primarily sellers. This is your opportunity to pivot your business. We're going to talk a lot more. We have 17 things you need to be doing now to prepare for basically the house. We're calling it the recession, but I'll probably change the title. So we're going to give you a real drill down list, and you can start checking these things off. We're making it that tactical and practical for you so you can be prepared. Please realize that this business, the way you be successful long-term in this business, so fourth time I've said it, are you listening, is you remember the highest and truest purpose of all of us on this planet is being of service to other people. Being of service to other people means that you have to often do, I mean by often, I mean all the time, do what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it at the highest level. Heard that before? Doing what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it at the highest level. That might mean accepting the fact that what we're telling you is true. That sucks that you have to accept it and it breaks your paradigm and it scares you. Get over it fast, because the next thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to learn how to help people in this market. It's going to start out just like Julie gave you in the different phases by sellers needing to have a good coming to Jesus session about their aspirational pricing, right? They're overpriced. They don't understand the price. Every other agent they talk to is going to be telling them, Tim and Julie, they're just trying to scare you into lowering the price so the house will sell itself.
Oh, yeah.
You're
going
to have to know how to compete against. Well, that's what they'll say.
Well, but
you
Tim,
guys
I've been waiting to say something about that too, because there will be people, listeners, skeptics, let's just say, if we're being honest, weaker agents who don't want to actually take action, who will think that we want this to happen, you and I, somehow. And I have to say, we had this conversation last night in our nightly defrag together, how, like, we have no interest in instigating anything, as if we had that power at all. Coaching in that environment where all of your clients need you at a higher level is a lot more challenging, to be honest with all of our listeners. I think you would agree with that, Tim, because not only do we have to help you to help them, but we also have to help all of you guys to work through your own mindsets about helping them. And we're already seeing some of this. I saw Ryan Serhant from Selling New York interviewed, and he was very factual, gave lots of great examples of what had happened recently in the New York market. He had an example of something that he sold, I think, like a year and a half ago for $18 million. Maybe it was 3 years ago for $18 million. He just resold it for $9 million. The reporter asked, how do you feel about that? And the way that conversation was going, I think he actually asked him, do you feel bad about it being half price for the same unit? You know, so you're going to have to deal with some of these feelings and emotions. And Ryan's answer was, I feel good every day. I'm a broker that helps people, which I thought was a great answer. So, no, we don't want this to happen. We are warning you that it is happening. I love how people think that we have that kind of power, though. That's kind of cool. Anyway, point that out.
No, but Julie, there's another side of it, too. You guys are a lot harder to coach in a changing market because your emotional needs are not going
to –
they're
going to
go – you guys – I know. You guys are going to be like, look, it's hard. I'm not going to lie to you. Dealing with sellers, like what Julie just gave an example of, I have personal coaching clients who are having conversations with their sellers right now like that. They're losing millions of dollars. Some of you guys could care less because you don't relate. But when you are talking to a seller, and this is what Julie and I, basically this was our world when we sold real estate, it was very rare when we sold real estate, and we sold a shit ton of it, to have a seller that was making any money on their house. True. We were almost always making more money. The seller would get nothing or virtually nothing from the closing of their house, and Julie and I were making more money from our commission than they were making. Normal thing to happen in our market where it was a balanced normal market.
Without being a short sale, you know, they would have to write a check for $3,500 to get rid of the house. They were writing a check for more than the buyer was coming with sometimes. That happens.
That's called a normal market. And so a lot of you guys who have only been, oh, my gosh, if you don't buy this house, somebody else is going to buy it. There's 10 people wanting to buy it. You better buy. Prices are going up. I know that's how most of you exist. You guys are screwed. I mean, if that's how you think of real estate and that's your only skill is to sell people off essentially fear of loss, you're done. It's not going to work. Because I told you what's happening with Ben. I mean, he's out there talking to buyers, and the buyers are like, no, I'm good. I'm going to wait. What are you going to do when your buyers say that to you? When all of your buyers say that to you? When you make your calls to your centers of influence and past clients and even the sellers, and they say, potential sellers, and they say, you know what? I'm staying put. Yeah, I'm not sure prices are going anywhere, and I like my long-term interest rate at 4%. I'm staying put. I'm good. What are you going to do? Going to go buy some more leads from Zillow? How's that working out for you? What do you think that's going to? What do you think is going to happen in the future? Buying buyer leads in a market like what we're describing. Can you paint a positive outcome for me, listeners, for any agent who's addicted to buying buyer leads, let alone brokers and teams? Tell me how that works out for all of you in a market like what we're entering into. I can't think of a single way that works out for you positively. So, am I going to be a little bit overly dramatic? I am. Am I going to be a little bit more, direct? I have to be, because you guys won't listen. A lot of you are such blockheads. You won't listen. Are you going to listen? If you're not going to listen for yourself because your ego doesn't want to have to actually listen to what I'm saying, listen for the sake of your families. If brokers and office managers, listen for the sake of your agents. If that's not good enough, listen for the sake of their families. You guys have people dependent on you to do what you don't want to do and you don't want to do at the highest level. We have you dependent on us to tell you what we'd rather not tell you, because we owe it to you to tell you the truth so you can take actions. That's our job. You have the same job. We're all in the same business together, guys, helping people. You just happen to be our people. Your buyers and sellers are your people. Brokers, your agents are your people. This is not a time for us to be, pulling in the walls and digging our foxholes and waiting for the recession, all those sort of, natural ways of reacting to fear. Don't succumb to that or you will lose. You'll lose everything you have. You'll go bankrupt. You'll lose your health. You'll lose your relationships. It's happened before. Those of you guys who have been around in these markets, you know what I'm talking about. These things can be devastating, or they can be incredibly opportunistic for those of you who have the right mindset and skill set and are willing to do what you don't want to do and you don't want to do it at the highest level. We are going to be talking about this topic once or twice a week forever, because we need to get the message out. Some of you just listen to us once, and I hope this is the one you listen to. Others of you listen to us every day. Don't react out of fear. That's not what the takeaway from this is. React realizing that you have opportunities, but they're new opportunities. They're different opportunities. The other thing we didn't read to you a lot about were more facts and figures that were coming from builders. We really pay attention to what the builder reports are, and those guys are almost panicking, because all of a sudden they're going from this crazy boom market and now they're going to a bust market. And most of the builders are publicly traded, so they have to report all their numbers. They can't just gloss things over. And you're going to start seeing a lot of values lose. So if you have – I mean, I'm not a stock market guy, but if you have housing stocks, you better pay attention to that. All right, guys, listen. If you need us for anything, it's Tim at timandjulieharris.com or Julie at timandjulieharris.com. Your call to action is, if you've not done this yet, request a free coaching call at freecoachingcallsforagents.com, freecoachingcallsforagents.com, and you'll speak with one of our new member coaches. You guys have a fantastic day. Again, if you need us for anything, and I know a lot of you will, it's Tim at timandjulieharris.com or Julie at timandjulieharris.com.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows. And until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.